back. It's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit. I hope you've signed up over at the Crime Wave site. Once you've signed up, you can get newsletters about Crime Wave, you can participate in the forums, add comments to the episodes. Also, make sure to subscribe to the RSS feed on iTunes or whatever your browser is in the upper right corner of the Crime Wave site. That'll make sure that you get all the podcasts automatically downloaded to you as soon as they come out. Yeah.
California Racing Pigs by Mark Licard. The guy at the food booth at the county fair sold vegan wraps, something like very dry burritos with no taste. Billy Colley ate one anyway. His brother Earl threw his away after a couple bites. The Colley brothers were supposed to get $10,000 out of the guy that ran the food booth. He was a skinny, gray-haired guy with a beard and a little ponytail. He didn't look like someone who would get down at blackjack and then borrow $10,000 to catch up and lose that, but he did. And the people who lent the money to him wanted it back. That was where the Colley brothers came in. They had a real talent for convincing people to pay their debts. Often, simply getting a good look at Billy Colley convinced people to pay their debts, their partner's debts, and the debts of people they didn't even know. Earl waited impatiently for his monstrous brother to get to the end of his vegan wrap. Then he caught Billy's eye, squinted, and nodded toward the back of the food tent. Still chewing, Billy nodded back, got up, and disappeared around the side of the tent. Earl leaned in the little window the food guy passed the vegan wraps through. "Kenny," he yelled. "Hey, Kenny, come here. I need to talk to you." Kenny, the food guy, appeared from somewhere back in the food tent, wiping his hands on a greasy-looking rag. "Everything all right?" Then he stopped, staring at Earl. "How do you know my name, anyway?" "Jimmy Delaney gave it to me," Earl said, deadpan. "Ah." The food guy stopped wiping his hands. "He wants his money, Kenny, all of it, today." Kenny nodded briskly. "Oh, sure, no problem. I got it right here. Be right back." He started walking toward the back of the tent. "Kenny, hold it." The food guy stopped, looking back expectantly. "Kenny, please don't make this harder than it has to be. We know you. We know what you drive. We know where you park. We know where you live. We even know where you go to get loaded every night after work, so please, don't make us come looking for you. That just makes it more difficult for everyone." Kenny smiled brightly. "Oh, sure, don't even worry about it." He ducked behind a stainless steel refrigerator and reappeared almost instantly with a paper bag. It looked like someone's forgotten school lunch. He walked over to the window and shoved the bag into Earl's hands. "It's all there. You better count it." Earl opened the paper bag and looked in. It was filled with neatly rubber-banded rolls of hundreds. "No need to count it," he said. "You forgot part of it. We'll come back for it later." As a threat, Earl felt, this fell a little flat. He could tell at a glance the money was all there. "Oh, it's all there, all right. I wouldn't stiff Mr. Delaney. Hey, do you guys want a couple more vegan wraps to take with you? On the house." Earl went behind the food tent to pull Billy off the back door. "Guy had the money," he said, wrapping the paper bag into Billy's chest. Billy caught the bag, looked inside. Cool. Now we're all done, huh? That's right, Earl said. Now we're all done. Now we can go see the fair and shit. What would you want to do that for? Earl asked. I like county fairs, Billy said. Earl Colley hated county fairs, which reminded him of the dirt farm outside Manteca he and Billy had grown up on. The fairgrounds were hot and dusty, the animals smelly. Suffocating crowds of people surged up and down the narrow dirt lanes between the vendor booths. If Earl saw one more fat, middle-aged woman in tight short shorts and a halter top, there was no telling what would happen. But the brothers had nothing else on tap for the day, and anyway, it was hard to turn Billy around once he had his mind, what little there was of it, fixed on something. So Earl gave in. Okay, we'll walk around some, he told Billy. But let's not spend the whole goddamn day at it. The sign on the side of the semi-trailer said, California Pig Racing Association. Next to it, there was a picture of a pig in goggles and a cap with a manic leer and its hands on a steering wheel. The pig looked just different enough from Porky Pig to avoid copyright infringement difficulties. There was a small race course marked off with flimsy white rail fencing in front of the semi-trailer. Bleachers were set up around three sides of the course. Spectators filled the bleachers, eagerly watching the empty race course, waiting for the action to begin. There were a lot of kids in the audience. A broad-shouldered man in western clothes and a big white Stetson hat was announcing the races and teasing the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, the first race is about to begin. Now, these pigs you are about to see are not just any pigs. No, sir, they are genuine California racing pigs. These pigs are some of the fastest, smartest young pigs on the West Coast. It wouldn't surprise me if they were smarter than those politicians we got up there in Sacramento. Why, they might even be smarter than some of you folks out there in the audience. The crowd ate it up. Six young pigs tumbled down a chute from the trailer and were herded into the starting stalls by a pretty blonde young woman in a white buckskin jacket with long fringes, a real short white skirt, white cowboy boots, and a big white hat. Keep your eye on number six, the man standing next to Earl said. Earl ignored him. Billy Colley had never seen a pig race before. Look at those little dudes go, Earl, he said to his brother. Earl Colley was less impressed. Make a nice plate of pork chops, he said. Earl was instantly bored by pig racing. He stood it for one race, then shook Billy by the elbow. Come on, Billy, let's get out of here. But Billy was into it. You go, Earl. I want to see another race. Earl sighed. He could tell from the way Billy's eyes were bugging out, with his mouth open a little, that he was fixated on the pigs. It would be impossible to budge him until he had had enough. That could take hours. All right, but meet me back at the car at 1 o'clock. Like telling a little kid, Earl thought. A little kid who could bend a crowbar around your neck if you got him angry, but still. Earl walked away, wondering how in hell he could keep from dying of heat and boredom for the next few hours. At the edge of the crowd, he looked back and saw the guy who had told him to keep his eye on pig number six in deep conversation with Brother Billy. The guy was wearing a little green Tyrolean hat with a red feather in it. Earl just hoped Billy behaved himself. Earl tried hard to get interested in the fair. He even won a prize at the shooting booth, a big, fluffy yellow bird the size of a Volkswagen Beetle that weighed less than a cone of cotton candy. He immediately gave it away to a wide-eyed little girl standing next to him. No sense carrying the goddamn bird around all day, he thought. But he was glad when it was almost time to head back to the parking lot and meet up with Billy. Earl ducked behind a tent to get out of the wind that had come up and smoke a cigarette. Somehow he got the feeling that people would give him looks if he tried to smoke out in the open. Some weedy little fuck might even ask him to stub it. That would be unfortunate. But no one came to bother Earl behind the tent. But he wasn't alone. He gave a little jump when, right around the corner, someone came out with a half-strangled rebel yell. Earl peeked around the corner to see who was making all the noise. He saw the big dude from the pig racing stand, hat off now, and a shit-eating grin on his face, counting off a fat wad of bills. The guy in the Tyrolean hat who had spoken to Earl about pig number 6 was standing next to him. He had money in his hands, too. "Ooh-wee! Where'd that big oaky halfwit get this kind of money?" the pig racer said. "Who cares?" the other guy said. "Maybe you'll get some more and come back tomorrow." "Tomorrow, hell. This much money in my hand, I feel like going home tonight." "Well, buddy, make hay while the sun shines, I always say." This certainly had a bad sound to it. Earl briefly considered holding down on the two pig race hustlers and taking the money away from them. But that would cause needless trouble and put him on the wrong side of things. Better to wait. And just maybe, that wasn't Jimmy Delaney's money, and Billy wasn't the one who had lost it. But in his heart of hearts, Earl knew what had happened. In the end, he just finished his cigarette and went back to the car. If he hadn't already suspected the worst, Earl would have known that Billy had messed up as soon as he came in sight from the way he walked, slow and draggy, with his big head hanging down. He looked like a St. Bernard that had just shit on a Bible. "Have a good time?" Earl asked Billy as he came dragging up. Billy shook his head, still looking down. "Earl, I lost it," he said. "Lost what?" Earl asked, though he knew damn well what. "Your cherry?" "Earl, I lost the money in the bag, all of it." "Lost it? What did you do, leave it somewhere?" Earl prompted. Billy shook his head. No, I lost it betting on the pig races." "How did you manage that?" Earl was genuinely curious. "Well, I started..." "Lost it? What did you do, leave it somewhere?" Earl prompted. Billy shook his head. "I lost it betting on the..." "So I did, and Earl, that little dude won every race he was in." "So you put something down on him?" Billy nodded. "Yeah, and he won, too. The next race he was in, I doubled up to make some real pigs. He was slow to keep my eye on this one pig, so I did, and Earl, that little dude won every race he was in." "So you put something down on him?" Billy nodded. "Yeah, and he won, too. The next race he was in, I doubled up to make some real money on him. But this time, he was slow out of the gate, kind of waddling, and when they got down to the first turn, the fucking pig just lay down in the mud and rolled race, and the guy in the hat was in it right with me. We even started betting on place and show. But my luck was all out. I lost every goddamn race. Then my guy came out again, the little black pig that had won so much before. I put everything on him, win or walk home. But the pig was never in it, last in the field, and I lost it all." Earl clapped the big moron on the shoulder. "Well, don't stand there thinking about it all day," he said. "That's not going to get your money back." Billy raised his head. "You're not mad?" "Nope," Earl said. "You do realize, little brother, that the fix was in them pig races. Those dudes stole that money from us." "Those dudes? It was just the one guy," Billy said. Earl told him what he had seen behind the tent. "Don't worry about that now," Earl said. "You do realize, little brother, that the fix was in them pig races. Those dudes stole that money from us." "Those dudes? It was just the one guy," Billy said. Earl told him what he had seen behind the tent. "Don't worry about that now," Earl said. "I have an idea of what to do about it." It was a simple thing to come back that night with bolt cutters and cut out a section of the chain-link fence around the fairgrounds. No alarm, no dogs. Earl hot-wired the semi-tractor, no problem, backed it up to the pig race trailer and hitched on. Then he and Billy transferred the hookups and took off. They went through the fence okay, though one post got bent right over. It was a little dicey going down the embankment, and Earl, who was driving, thought she might tip, but they came through that okay. Bumping over the median brought a good response from inside the trailer, squealing and agitated grunting. Just as they got over the median and were heading for the freeway at a good clip, the curtains closing off the sleeping cabin behind them banged open. A young blonde woman stared out at them, holding the sheets around her. It was the pig maiden in the white buckskin jacket, She wasn't wearing it now, however, but shorty pajamas with little pigs on them. After a few seconds of horrified goggling, she whacked the curtains closed again. Earl and Billy looked at each other. "I'll take care of this, brother," Billy said, unbuckling his seatbelt and climbing through the curtains. Screams and struggling noises came out of the sleeping cabin for a while. Then Billy climbed back out, his clothes all pulled apart, breathing heavily. "Tied her up," Billy panted. "Cool," Earl said. "What with?" Billy didn't answer directly. He blushed. "Gagged her with a pillowcase," he volunteered. They took the trailer filled with pigs and the pig lady to their cousin Leonard's farm. He had dropped them off at the fairgrounds earlier with a few tools, so he knew something was up. Leonard's farm was conveniently located just about 10 miles down the freeway from the county fair. The farm was a couple miles up a eucalyptus-lined road leading off east across the flat valley floor. You couldn't see the farm buildings from the main road, which was its beauty in Earl's eyes. Cousin Leonard helped out hanging tarps and the odd piece of canvas over the truck to hide it from prying eyes without asking too many questions. Leonard was used to Earl and Billy and knew he'd be better off not knowing. Periodically, Billy disappeared into the sleeping cabin to look after the pig girl. Each time, he was gone a little longer. The next time, he disappeared for a full 15 minutes. When he came out, he walked up to Earl, who was resting with Leonard on the porch steps. "Edna says we got to feed the pigs now," Billy told him. "Edna? Who the fuck is Edna?" Earl wanted to know. The girl in there, the pig dude's sister." "Well, I'm sure glad you two are on a first-name basis now," Earl said. "How'd she tell you that, anyway? I thought you had her gagged up." Billy blushed again. He was blushing a lot lately. "Had to take the gag out. Her face was turning blue. Couldn't get enough air in through her nose because she has this allergy condition." Earl got up. "Well, I'm glad to see you're on top of things, little brother. Let's go and get them pigs slopped out." Billy and Earl filled up the trough and let the pigs out of their cages. The pigs nearly knocked them down running to get to the trough. "Would they eat me too if I fell in the trough?" Earl wondered. "Probably." Earl regarded the pigs thoughtfully. The porkers were lined up at the trough, snarfing pig food at incredible speed. "You think these guys would eat a piece of C4?" Earl asked. "They look like they would eat any damn thing," Billy said. Then he caught up with his brother. "Hey, you're not going to hurt them, are you?" "Just thinking of something, that's all," Earl said. After watching the pigs eat for a while, Billy straightened up. "Well, I better get in there and check on Edna, make sure she's still all right." Earl gave him a look. "You're pretty concerned about her, aren't you? I think that's touching." Billy tried to appear cool and unconcerned. His act wouldn't have fooled a blind, day-old monkey. "Well, those twisted-up sheets, I put them on pretty tight. Wouldn't want her hands to turn blue and fall off." "That would be a waste," Earl agreed. Billy blushed. "I'll be right back," he said. While Billy was taking care of the pig lady, Earl went out to the car and got his bomb kit out of the trunk. Earl had been experimenting with using cell phones to set off detonators. He had read that the insurgents in Iraq had started doing that, and it seemed like a good idea. He picked up a box of stolen cell phones cheap and took them apart. That was as far as he'd gotten with it. Now he took the paper bag of cell phone guts, some detonators, and a pound and a quarter block of C4 into Cousin Leonard's kitchen and sat down to work. In a couple hours, he had half a dozen C4 meatballs, each one wrapped around a detonator hooked up to a cell phone's innards. The numbers of the cell phone detonators were all entered into his cell phone, ready to call. The meatballs were small enough, Earl thought, so that the pigs could eat them whole. If they bit them, of course, it was all over. But the pigs, in Earl's observation, weren't very good about chewing their food before swallowing it. Earl thought it might just work. Earl put the half-dozen mini-bomb pig snacks in the trough, then shoveled some pig food on top of them. The trough was up against the front of the trailer, and through it Earl could hear his brother making love to the pig girl, yelling and rocking and kicking. It sounded like he was having quite a little party. The pig racer in the cowboy hat had looked like a pretty tough customer who might not just lie down and take it when they presented their demands. Earl felt better having a little edge, just for safety's sake. A little ransom insurance, in case the pig guy felt like backing out at any point. You had to be real careful with people you didn't know all that well. Later on that day, Earl gave the pig racer a call on his cell phone. The number had been painted on the side of his trailer. "Howdy, partner," Earl said into the phone when the pig racer picked up. "How would you like your pigs back? Sausage? Ribs and bacon? Pork chops? Or are you going to pay us 30 large?" Earl thought about triple what they had lost was a good opening position. "You little sons of bitches better not hurt my sister," the pig racer said. He sounded upset. "Don't worry none about Edna," Earl said. He was really getting his cowboy on with this guy on the other end of the phone. "We're taking real good care of her. Why, my brother just got finished giving her a full body massage, but I can't swear he'll do the same thing for the pigs." "Well, I don't care about the pigs," the pig racer said. "Don't care about the pigs? Hell, buddy, I'm a pig farmer. I've killed and bled out more hogs than you have hairs on your ass. A pig is just a pig, but I want my truck back and my sister." "That one's easy," Earl told him. "You just leave the money for us where I tell you, and you get your truck, your pigs, and your sister, all good as new. Tell you what, I'll give you till 5 o'clock today to get the money together. Talk to you then." The pig racer started to say something that didn't sound all that friendly, but Earl hung up on him. Earl fell asleep in the Lazy Boy in front of the TV. It had been a long, hot day and a hard night's work. The gunning semi-engine outside didn't wake him up. Neither did the rebel yells or the sound of ripping, flapping canvas. He didn't wake up until Cousin Leonard shook him hard by the shoulders. "Earl, they're taking the truck." That brought him back. He jumped to his feet, picked up his 9 from the table next to the chair, and ran out of the door. The truck was gone all right. The tarps he and Billy and Leonard had covered it with were ripped and torn, hanging down like sleeping ghost bats. "How long?" he asked Leonard. "Not long. 3 minutes, maybe. I came and got you as soon as I heard him out there." "Which way they turn?" "Well, there's only one way to turn, really. That's left toward the highway. The other way just goes down about a mile and stops in a field." Earl ran down the steps and jumped in the Chevy before Cousin Leonard had finished speaking. He jammed it out of the yard and fishtailed onto the road, heading toward the freeway. Earl pulled onto the freeway, wondering if Billy was still asleep in the truck's cabin, and if he was, what he would do when he woke up and found the pig farmer driving it down the freeway. Traffic on the freeway was light, and Earl saw a big semi a mile or so up ahead, pulled over to the side. He pushed the Chevy as hard as it would go, but before he could come up to it, the semi swerved back into the traffic stream and began to pick up speed. Before he could catch up with the truck, though, he saw something out of the corner of his eye that made him pull off to the shoulder and honk the horn. He had seen a large naked man walking along the side of the highway. Not many people were as big and tall as Billy Collie, and, too, Earl recognized Billy's walk. Eventually, Billy came up to the Chevy and got in. He didn't say a word. He was buck naked, the skin scraped off his chest, elbows, and knees. Earl respected his silence. About halfway back to Leonard's farm, Billy said, "She had a GPS in her phone." A bit later, he said, "My wallet was in those pants." Next day, Earl Collie sat on the topmost bench of the bleachers by the fairgrounds track. From there, he had a good view up the main vendor alley of the pig racing truck through his binoculars. The races were just getting started for the day. Earl waited until the pigs were herded into the starting gate for the first race before he gave the pig farmer a call. The pig dude must have had caller ID. He knew just who was calling him. You want your buddy's clothes? We fed him to the pigs, the dude said without preamble. So I guess you're shit out of luck. I just called to ask nicely about the money you said you were going to get for us, that's all, Earl said. Money? The pig dude laughed. Earl thought he could hear it without the phone. Why should I pay you anything now? I got the truck and the pigs. Excuse me, Earl said. I think I got another call coming in. He selected the first of the cell phone detonator numbers and hit dial with his thumb. The results were good. The race was underway, and the lead pig was going into the second turn when it blew up, spattering the crowd in the bleachers with mud, blood, and pig guts. The pig's head flew through the air like a cannonball and knocked a retired policeman backwards off the top row of the bleachers. Blast will do funny things sometime, Earl mused. The crowd was spooked now and heading for the exit in a hurry. Now Earl could hear screams and yelling without the phone to help. He called the pig man back. The pig dude was upset again. How the hell did you do that? He yelled into the phone. How do I even know you did do that? I think I hear another call coming in, Earl said. He hung up again. The next two numbers he dialed didn't result in explosions. Something must have gone wrong with the meatballs, bit in half maybe, or just messed up from soaking in pig digestive juices. But the third call worked fine. Earl couldn't hear it, but thought he felt the detonation through the soles of his feet. Through the binocs, he saw the door to the trailer swing open, and the pig lady, Edna, standing there with a look of horror on her face, her white clothes covered with blood and pig parts. For a moment, it seemed as if she was looking straight into his binoculars. He called back. How about it, guy? Put the money in a paper bag. Leave it with the guy that runs the vegan wrap stand. Don't fuck with him. He doesn't know anything about this. Then pack up and leave the damn fair. We'll be watching, and if you don't do exactly what I'm telling you, it's going to be the 4th of July in the sausage factory again. I don't have 30,000, the pig guy stammered. Excuse me, Earl said. Another call. This time, the explosion happened in the open air of the first turn. The meatball must have been shot out maybe by a frightened pig when the first one went off. The detonation spattered the pig racer with mud and pig shit and so terrified the racing pigs that they broke for the stands and followed the crowd out of the area. You know what, Earl said when he called back. I'm feeling real generous today. Just put that $10,000 you stole yesterday, my brother's wallet, plus all the receipts you got since the fair opened, and any little gratuity you feel like leaving. That'll be good enough for me. I don't know what you're talking about, the pig farmer said. What money? Say, did you know we wired up your sister, too? Earl asked him. It was pure bluff, but the pig dude wouldn't know for sure. Just like the pigs. Look up her ass next time you're screwing her. Oh, excuse me, I got another call coming in. Wait, the pig farmer said. There was a funny noise in the background, a kind of grunting. At first, Earl thought it was the pig guy sobbing and trying to talk at the same time. Then he heard it again. The sound wasn't coming from his phone. He looked down between his legs at the space under the bleachers. That was where the sound seemed to be coming from. A large black pig stared back at him. As Earl and the pig stared each other down, about 10 more pigs showed up. Go ahead, Earl. Press dial. Go ahead. Want to put something on which pig goes up? Edna, the pig lady, was down there, too, covered with mud and blood. She was staring up at him just like the pigs, though she seemed pissed off, while the pigs just looked curious and hungry. Maybe that one parked right under your ass will be the one to blow, Edna said. Earl looked at the pigs swarming around the pig lady, rooting in the mud under the stands. He tried to calculate the blast radius from a fist-sized chunk of C4, discounting for X pounds of pig meat insulator, but gave it up. Blast did funny things sometime. Maybe that one, between your legs, he reposted feebly. Go for it. I'm getting used to wearing pig intestines. Earl stared at her some more, just for self-respect. Then he sighed and folded up his phone. We should talk about this, he said. In the end, they worked it all out over barbecue. California raising pigs turned out to be pretty tasty. Maybe all that exercise tenderized them, Earl mused. Some of the best parts of the exploded pigs couldn't be found, but there was plenty left in edible condition. Billy got his wallet back. He and Edna weren't talking much, but they sat next to each other and passed each other napkins and barbecue sauce. And most important, the brothers got Jimmy Delaney's money back. Easy come, easy go, Earl consoled the pig racer. Out of their own pockets and the goodness of their hearts, they paid the pig racer, his name turned out to be Oswald Johnson, for his damaged and destroyed pigs. Earl was surprised that he asked so little, what with the pigs being trained up and everything, but he wasn't about to argue. The only fly in the ointment happened toward the end of the afternoon when Oswald called the county fair folks on the radio phone in the truck cabin. Everyone was a bit wary of cell phones. To explain why his performances got cut short. A rare intestinal infection, he explained, that thoroughbred racing pigs were uniquely subject to. When he came back, he looked a little upset. The fair people want me out, he said. Right now. What for? Billy said, around a mouthful of rib. They don't want any more flying pig heads, Oswald Johnson said. Their insurance can't handle it. That's too bad, Earl commiserated. I'm sorry to hear that. You little sons of bitches, the pigman was getting worked up again. You destroyed my livelihood. Now what the hell am I going to do? My sister depends on me. Those pigs depend on me. Earl held up a greasy hand. Wait, now wait a minute, he said, through a wad of barbecue. He worked on it for a minute or two, swallowed, and said, You and your daughter can come work for me. The pigman was skeptical. For you? What kind of work would we do for you? Stan Kowacki was a little bleary-eyed when he stumbled to the motel room door and opened it, but his vision cleared up quickly once he saw who was knocking. A beautiful blonde in a white cowgirl outfit stood there, smiling at him. Her smile was as dazzling white as her costume. For a long second, Stan considered the possibility of flashback hallucination. Ha, how are you? The cowgirl said, apparently real. My name is Edna Jenkins, and I'm selling magazine subscriptions to put myself through college. And I was hoping you'd let me show you the many choices of magazine I can offer if you'd just let me in and give me a minute of your time. I should come on in, Stan muttered. He wished he'd had time to take a shower, but at least he had put on his jeans and a halfway clean t-shirt. Smiling and swaying her hips slightly, the cowgirl sashayed into the motel room and perched on the edge of Stan's unmade bed. Stan didn't really need any magazines. He could barely read, but he could see the 6 inches of white thigh that revealed themselves when the cowgirl sat down on the bed and her skirt hiked up. Stan sat down next to her, not quite touching. He thought it was possible she was selling more than magazine subscriptions. The cowgirl opened up the little briefcase she was carrying, also white, and began to take out some glossy magazines. Now, I just bet from looking at you that you're the kind of man likes a good automotive magazine, she said. Am I right? She spread several hot rod mags on the dirty coverlet. Normally, Stan would have been interested in the pictures, at least, but even the cowgirl's white thigh flesh was not enough to keep him distracted when he heard a familiar roaring, bubbling sound down in the motel parking lot. He jumped off the bed. That sounds like my bike, he yelled, and ran to the door just in time to see a large, helmetless figure steering a big Harley out of the parking lot. The big man stuck up one arm and gave him the finger. Then he roared up the street and disappeared.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on my website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by the Crime Wave.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.